97 FM 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. Oh, we had a tragedy yesterday. Mass shooting in Shreveport. What? Now tell us what happened.
Started, we believe, near the intersection of Linwood and 61st Street. It was domestic related, is what police are saying. It turns out, I believe, that a woman went to check on her son. And, you know, police are saying they have the suspect in custody. A female victim, we believe it was the mother, was fatally shot at a home on Attaway Street, where she apparently had gone to check on her son. He then, when she left, he then gave chase, is what it sounds like, and then just kind of started opening fire. The woman was killed. I think there were three other people that were wounded. And then the suspect's car, either there was an accident or hit someone who also died. Now, they're not sure if the person died from a medical condition or from the being hit by the car. That is still very unclear right now. So I don't know anything about.
But just somebody in the wrong place at the wrong time.
It sounds like it. Yeah. And wow. They had more than 40 SPD and EMS people on the scene at one time. It was a huge crime scene because you're going from, you know, from the Linwood to the Attaway site, and several areas had to be blocked off. Mike, I don't know what to say about this. It's just somebody that, you know, possibly had mental troubles and then decided to turn to violence. We have not confirmed that he killed his own mother. We do not know that. There was a police, I believe, captain on the scene who made that inference at one point. So I don't know. I just know that the domestic incidents are the things that are troubling, you know, the leadership of SPD and the leadership of our community, because you don't know when these things will happen.
Well, there was another story that was just put up yesterday afternoon, three separate arrests, domestic violence incidents.
Mm-hmm.
But Aaron, you can't prevent this.
No.
There's nothing you can do to prevent this. It's simply the Shreveport police having to respond. And what can be done is cracking down on it.
And I would say to those people who think they may be in a situation where domestic violence could escalate, reach out before it gets to that point. Reach out and get a protective order. Reach out. Let family members know. Let the police know. Call and make reports. And I can't stress that enough. The more people you tell, the wider your circle of help and network is, and the more likely it is to prevent you from being harmed. Now, I do know, you know, that, you know, at the point where you leave a domestic violence situation is typically the most dangerous. And that's when you really need, that's when you need that circle. You need those people, that network of people to help you.
Sure.
And you need the community, the police department, victims advocates, and all the agencies that step up to help. That's when you need them. And so they need to know about it. You can't do it on your own. You need to reach out for help.
And you worked with the YWCA victims unit, right?
I was the victim advocate for about 5 years.
Yes.
And
so I'm sure you've heard a lot. You've heard it all.
Oh, I have heard it all. And the biggest thing that I hear, and it's getting better now, the biggest thing that I heard was they were too ashamed to say anything. You know, you don't want people to know. You know, if I was a battered woman and I was coming in every day and doing this radio show, do you think I would want the world to know that, you know, I got beat up last night? You don't want to say that.
Okay. What about people in your sphere? Like, if you were in this room and you were a battered woman, I should be able to tell, don't you think?
You probably should, particularly if it had gotten physical. But if it's emotional, that is a warning sign. If the person, and I'm not talking men or women, it doesn't matter. They can be on both sides. If they want to tell you how to dress, who you can be with. Cut off your contact with your family.
Right.
If they want to control the finances, if they want to have control over your life, who can open the mail? Who can even go get the mail? Little things like that are warning signs. And you need to nip that in the bud immediately and say, look, that's controlling behavior, and I won't tolerate it. And if it continues, you know that relationship is doomed. I hate to say that to people, but you know the relationship is doomed, and you need to start working on your exit plan.
And if anybody ever says the words, you are such a loser to you, ever.
Yeah.
Sever that relationship.
Someone that loves you shouldn't degrade you.
No.
I really need you to hear that. No. Someone that loves you should not be the same person who tears you down. It just shouldn't be. And that relationship, again, is doomed. And you need to start working on your exit plan. And I know I'm talking to people who are like, God, she's right, but how do I do it? What do I do? Start talking to people. Start telling people. If you have a way to start setting money aside, start doing that. Start protecting your children better. You know, whatever steps you have to take, tell the people that love you. Even if you haven't had contact with them because of your abuser, start reaching back out to them somehow. Send them a letter. Send them a text if you have your phone. You know, I mean, there's so many tips. But again, we can't predict it. We don't know when it will escalate and get violent and get deadly in this case, which is so sad.
Because apparently a mother went to check on her adult son.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently that set him off.
Something happened.
Caused her to flee in her car, and he chased her, shooting after her.
Just opening, you know, firing the gun at random. It's a sad, sad story, and we really need. And I'll tell the story when we get back of kind of the flip side of that, because I had a wonderful trip to DeSoto Parish, where they have opened up a center to help victims.
And it looks like a beautiful center.
It's unbelievable.
The Justin Center.
It is a gorgeous building. Unbelievable. And
what a tremendous honor.
Yeah, named for Justin Bloxham, the 12-year-old boy who was killed. Obviously, you know that we work for his mom. She is a dear friend, and she obviously is our boss as well. So we're very intimately familiar with the story. And I'll tell you about that trip to Mansfield yesterday, because it was... I actually shed a tear, and
well, I'm sure,
you know, it was a wonderful day to see everybody come together, and how DeSoto Parish just stepped up. The sheriff's going to join us later in the morning, but I'll tell you about that when we come back.
Also coming up, we'll talk to Louis R. Avalone following President Trump's speech last night. That's in about 20 minutes. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
Hey. Breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, I saw the pictures on keelnews.com. The facility, the Justin Center.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, it's a beautiful building.
It's gorgeous. It's the former school board office.
Okay.
And
it looks like it's been redone.
Oh, they completely redid it. And it was a funny story because the sheriff and the superintendent was kind of in the audience. And the sheriff said, he jokingly got up to the microphone and he said, you know, the school superintendent and I, we have a great relationship, except he's always trying to sell me his buildings, you know, when they close a school or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And then he said, and when I called him with this idea, it was like 8:30 or 9 at night. And, He said that school board office would be a great facility, but he said, but I don't want to buy it. I don't want to buy it. It was kind of funny. And so Clay Corley, the superintendent, they reached an agreement where he didn't sell it to him. It's kind of a cooperative agreement. And the sheriff got contractors to come in and completely revamp this building. And it is now called the Justin Center. And the best way to describe it, it's a one-stop shop for victims. I mean, Mike, the Gingerbread House is in there. CASA's in there. Project Celebration is in there. They've got All kinds of agencies that are involved. Of course, the DA is got people there. You've got the Shreveport Bar Association going to have lawyers in there. It is a massive complex where if you are a victim of Gingerbread House, if you're a victim of a crime and you feel like you're alone, this is the place to go. They will direct you to help. They will make sure that, you know, if you need legal paper, if you need protective orders, or if you need things done like that, they can help you and direct you to the people that'll be there. Now, they're going to have, you know, each agency will have different hours that they will have staff there. But to see what they did with this building, and then they named it the Justin Center for Justin Bloxham. Mm-hmm. And if you're familiar with the story, a 12-year-old boy who was murdered in DeSoto Parish 16 years ago. I mean, gosh, Justin would be 28
now.
Good
grief. 16 years ago.
Yeah. And his mom is a dear friend of ours. And she actually is our boss as well. Amy and I have known each other for 30 years probably. And I actually rode down there with her yesterday. And we were talking about, you know, she was showing me the sign on Mansfield Road where they have a sign in his honor. And she said they just repainted it and it looks good. She says it needs mowing. So I'll tell the sheriff today that they need to get somebody out there to mow it, that area around the sign. But they called her and said, hey, we want to name it the Justin Center so that he's always remembered. People will always remember him. And anyone who graces that building will be reminded of him. And they have a beautiful, and you can see it again at keelnews.com, a beautiful tribute to him on the wall with his picture. They had a painting of a tree that just had branches, and you would take your thumb and put it on the ink pad, and then you put your thumbprint on the branches. And so everybody that was there put their thumbprints on the branches of this tree, and then they're going to hang that up in the building somewhere. But the agencies that were represented, Mike, it was incredible.
And the thumbprints are like leaves.
The thumbprints are leaves on the tree.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
And it is just, I mean, I didn't see it when it was finally done, but I mean, I was able to put my thumbprint on it, and I thought, you know, my thumbprint will be on there forever, and they'll have that hanging on in the building somewhere forever. And I just know that when you're a victim of a crime, whether it's child abuse or whatever, or domestic violence, you feel so alone. And you need to come into a space like that that was just, it's so warm and friendly. And I can't tip the hat of Captain Angela Bandy. It was kind of her brainchild, and she's with the DeSoto Sheriff's Office. And she said when she mentioned it to Sheriff Richardson, he jumped on it and ran with it and, you know, gave her the green light, and she went and moved full steam ahead. She was teary-eyed when she was talking about it, how this is just going to be a place where people will feel safe. And it's just great to know that we have people like this in our community that are going to step up and help whenever needed. So the folks now in DeSoto Parish, they don't have to come to Shreveport to get help. Mm-hmm. They can do it right there in Mansfield. And it's a beautiful place.
Wouldn't it be awesome to see Justin Centers all over?
And, you know,
we could have one in Shreveport.
Yes.
Consolidate a lot of these services.
Absolutely.
And then maybe in LA. I mean, others. Wow, that would be incredible.
And you know, that's something that the DA said. He said he thinks that people across the area will duplicate this. They will say, hey, let's find a way that, you know, yeah, Gingerbread House, you staff the one in Mansfield, then you staff the one in, you know, North Shreveport or wherever it's going to be. And rotate your days. You know, today you report to Shreveport. Tomorrow you report to Mansfield. And find a way that we could duplicate, pick this building up and move it to wherever we need it.
Wow.
And we have a facility like that in Bossier that's got, you know, all those things. And they're trying to make sure we have something like that in Shreveport. But I would encourage everybody. And a lot of the folks from Shreveport were there, and they were taking a look at this place. And mm-hmm. It is simply amazing. Now, it was a big building. I mean, it was a school board office. So, you know, getting that kind of a facility, you know, you're going to have to invest a lot of money. And I'm sure they didn't have to spend a whole lot of money because the school board reached a pretty favorable deal, I would bet, to have it there. Because there are going to be a lot of children helped. And the school board's in charge of helping our children, too. So It was nice to see the collaborative effort. It really was. Just incredible.
What an awesome experience.
Yeah. Yeah. It really was great. And you know, I knew Justin Bloxham. I'm sitting here telling you, you know, I know his mom. I knew that little youngster. I knew that little laugh. I can see him running down these halls with my boys at company events when they would be together, when we would go to Watertown together. I mean, her boys and my boys are very similar in ages. And, you know, they ran the halls in this building. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And to have to go through what she did to see her, my dear friend, and the strength she has, it was
She's
incredible.
An incredible person.
She is an incredible person. True. There's no doubt about it.
Yes.
No doubt about it. Anyway.
Louis R. Avalone going to join us in about 10 minutes. We'll do a recap of President Trump's speech from last night. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel, and on the free Kiel app.
Back with McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
President Trump had a national address, not that you would know if you watched some of the major networks. Louis R. Avalone, co-host of American Ground Radio, will join us right after the break. Let's break down what President Trump talked about with election integrity. Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710Kiel.com.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Co-host of American Ground Radio, heard every evening right here, 5 to 7 on 710 Kiel. Louis R. Avalone joining us. Louis, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
I turned on President Trump's speech last night. Well, let me get your thoughts. That's why we have you on the phone. Tell me what you thought. And then I'll share a little bit of mine.
Absolutely.
Was it sour grapes, sure, or did he have some legitimate points?
I think he had some legitimate points. I think, you know, he basically was not necessarily making points as much as he was making information available to the American people. And I think for a lot of folks who say, oh, this was sour grapes, he was trying to revisit the 2020 election that he lost, and the reason he wants to revisit that is because his ego is so big and he wants everyone to know that he really won that won that election. But we need to remind folks, much of the information that he revealed last night was being declassified as he was telling the American people. So this has not been debunked. This information or these allegations have not been debunked or otherwise investigated. This information was classified, and it has now been declassified by the President of the United States.
None of this stuff that he released last night was ever in a court hearing. I heard differently, but maybe I'm wrong.
Well, certainly some of the information might have been, but all of the document packages that he was describing as he was going through his 22-minute, throughout his 22-minute speech, as he was describing the documents, he indicated he was declassifying that information, that information had not previously been released to the public for scrutiny or for any investigation. And so I think that's what we need to be looking at currently. And for journalists out there who say, well, we are not going to carry the president's address live because he's known for making, you know, inaccurate statements and false allegations, et cetera, that's really very disingenuous. CNN said that. John King said that they were refusing to carry the president's address because of the president's, his proclivity to making allegations that were untrue.
CNN didn't carry it?
They did not.
Wow.
They refused to carry it live. And yet, while they said, well, we need to check all of the information that the president is disclosing to the American people, we haven't had a chance to check into it all. At the same time, they read a statement live from the Chinese Communist Party saying that they would never interfere in United States elections. So apparently,
so they're taking the word of the communist of the United States Chinese above the president of the United States.
Exactly.
I found it really offensive, and I hate to get on the media about this, but I found it really offensive for NBC and ABC not to cover the address, but then to come on and interrupt programming later that I happen to be watching to pontificate about his speech. You didn't carry the speech, but now your talking heads are going to come on and talk about the speech. I found that so irresponsible and such a glaring example of your bias.
Well, that's it, bias.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, they basically are, you know, it's emblematic of the very censorship that the president is revealing to the American people that the Chinese Communist Party and other foreign influence has had in our election. It's what the White House, did in censoring information with regards to Hunter Biden's laptop, for example. Basically, we always say the Democrats are the party of projection, and certainly the media proved that last night.
Lewis, real quick, for those that didn't watch or haven't seen a recap, President Trump asserted that there were some serious data breaches by the communist Chinese of voter information. Explain a little bit about what he talked about there. That was covered up by Biden's administration.
Sure. So the newly declassified intelligence reveals China obtained voter data on roughly 220 million Americans.
This is verified data now. This is not assertion.
Correct. And of course, this started during the Biden administration. And initially, the data breach was only 30 million.
Most Americans get the data? I mean, I know the Republican Party gets the data from the voter rolls. The Democratic Party can get the data. They got data that is not available to anyone else?
Well, I mean, certainly with respect to your Social Security information, with respect to your date of birth, those are very sensitive, obviously personal information that now the Chinese Communist Party has from our voter rolls. They discovered nearly 400,000 dead voters on rolls across the United States, 278,000 non-citizens registered to vote in federal elections. And some folks might say, well, that's not that much, but you have to remember, blue states have refused to disclose or to share their voter rolls with the federal government, who has been investigating this, or the Department of Justice, who has been investigating this. So the numbers that the president was revealing last night, you know, 400,000, you know, dead voters on voter rolls, 278,000 non-citizens registered to vote, those numbers are woefully understated because blue states won't even participate in contributing any of the information from their voter rolls. So we don't even know if it's happening in red states. I guarantee you it's happening in blue states.
Let me ask you a question, and this is real personal. This has happened to somebody in my life, and I've said it to a couple of people before, and I want you to tell me what you think happened. Someone tried to vote by mail in a presidential election, and the letter came back saying you'd already voted. That happened in two presidential elections. This is someone who is serving in the military. And who is voting for these people? They can't be just, this happened to just one person. Who's voting for these people? They may not vote in every election, but they want to vote in a presidential election. And their votes are coming back saying you've already voted.
Well, and depending on how far back that is, that may be part of this declassified information that the president is now declassifying, because there is an indication that China was involved in printing ballots for the 2020 election. So printing fake ballots that could then be filled out and then turned in and counted as legitimate. Now, look, I'm not wearing my tinfoil hat conspiracy theory What I am suggesting to you, though, is there is information that needs to be looked at that is coming to light for the public for the very first time. And I think we need to look at that. And the situation that you're describing could, in fact, that may be, in fact, one way that someone could vote for you before you get a chance to vote yourself.
Okay, let me clarify.
I want to follow up on that real quick. Would you suspect the person voting for that person is... this is a Republican, I will tell you that. Do you suspect it's the Democrats that are doing it, or do you suspect it's a foreign entity? What would you point at first?
Well, I guess historically, you know, the document or the ballot dumps that happen in the middle of the night never favor Republicans. I mean, you never hear, you know,
right.
The Democrat was winning all night long, and then at 2 o'clock in the morning, suddenly there were thousands of ballots that were found or that were counted, and all of a sudden the Republican ended up the victor. I don't know where those stories are. So if I had to look at it just as far as a trend, I would say those situations where...
And that's as recently as the Los Angeles mayor's race, Lewis.
Right. Great. Another, you know, recent example.
Finish your statement. You suspect it's the Democrats?
I suspect it would be the Democrats just from the fact that each and every time you have a late night count of ballots, it's always the Democrat that ends up winning the election.
Wow.
Well, and some of that may be anecdotal. I know some folks say, oh, you're painting that with a very broad brush, and perhaps so. But again, you know, where's the example on the other side where, again, the Republican, you know, in the middle of the night ends up pulling ahead and being the winner?
Wasn't Al Franken the beneficiary of some late night balloting as well?
He may have been. He may have been.
And Lewis, wasn't there some disclosure of ballot workers confessing, yes, I signed ballots as they were ballot harvesting?
You know, I think there are a lot of those examples, and I think there's countless of those stories. Some of them have, some of those, we use the word debunked. Some of those have been debunked. Some of them are legitimate. Some of them have been, you know, through the criminal justice system where the allegations have been made and folks have been found in some instances guilty, some innocent. I think what we're talking about right now is at a whole other level in terms of what President Trump revealed last night. And I think most of the reason that he did what he did last night, you know, for 22 minutes, he was focused, you know, laser focused on the election. And because we have midterms this year, we've got the SAVE Act that Speaker Mike Johnson has sent over to the Senate. And I think this is a message to those rhinos in the Senate, like John Thune, that it is time that you realize that if we don't have free and fair elections in this country, that we will no longer have a country.
Well, Chuck Schumer said that will never pass. The SAVE Act will never pass.
Does Bill Cassidy vote for it?
That's a great question. I hope he will. But as President Trump said, this should not be a partisan issue. This should not be a Republican or Democrat issue. Every American should want every ballot, every legally cast ballot to be counted. Every American should want every ballot counted accurately. Every American should want foreign governments kept completely away from American elections. I mean, these are constitutional necessities. And the fact that you've got half the country fighting this, and the question is, logically, why? What is – it's not logic. It's not logic. It is Trump derangement syndrome. And I know, again, a lot of folks say, oh, that's such a broad term as well. But we – and one last point. You can go through all of the information that has been declassified. The left – it's not going to change their minds. It doesn't matter. Because at the end of the day, they just want the problem to go away. And you know what the problem is? The problem is named Donald J. Trump. Mm-hmm. And the facts don't matter. The principles don't matter.
Lewis, I
President
find it,
Trump getting away, going away is all that matters.
Well, and the irony is not lost on me when this now has come forth about Chinese involvement in the elections after the accusations of Russia collusion, which was totally debunked. But now this has been confirmed. It's just, yeah, the irony hasn't been lost. Lewis, thank you so much for joining us. And we'll hear you tomorrow or later this afternoon at 5 o'clock with Stephen Parr.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank y'all.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Lewis R. Avalone, co-host of American Ground Radio. Coming up after the news top of the hour, Sheriff Jason Richardson from DeSoto Parish going to join us. A really positive day yesterday. The Justin Center opened in Mansfield. We'll get the details after the news. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
By the way, you'll be proud of me. I did watch the Louisiana Gaming Control Board meeting last night.
Look at you.
Yesterday morning.
Yeah.
Yesterday morning.
How was that? I was sorry I missed that riveting meeting.
I know. You should be. But they did approve the purchase of Samstown Casino by Bally's.
Ah.
So those two properties are going to be owned by Bally's. It'll be Bally's Shreveport North.
And regular Bally's.
And regular Bally's.
So
right
they
next
didn't,
to each other. They didn't talk about combining to one big property.
They didn't talk about the licenses or anything like that.
They didn't talk about, no.
Nothing about their plan.
Not really disclosing a lot. They just said there'll be 120 days. It was interesting that they did say the chips that say Samstown will be all that are going to, and the cards and all that will be transferred over to Bally's Shreveport North. And,
okay, so they'll be Bally's chips now.
It'll all be Bally's. Yeah.
That's interesting.
So there's what, 3 month period or 4 month period?
Yeah.
While they make that transition that Samstown, Boyd Gaming will continue to operate while they get everything transitioned over.
I wonder if you're going to operate two, what you're going to do. Interesting.
We'll talk more about that. Mm-hmm. Michael McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL. Mike and McCarty. And amidst this, a lot of bad news, we've got some good news. Yesterday in Mansfield, Louisiana, they opened the Justin Center. A big part of that was the DeSoto Parish Sheriff's Office and Sheriff Jason Richardson on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Sheriff, first of all, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. You bet.
Tell us about how this got started and your involvement in this beautiful new center, the Justin Center.
Sure. So we've been involved with all of the entities that are in the Justin Center for many, many years in the line of work that we're in. And so Captain Angela Vandy, she's the head of my criminal investigations division, but a longtime juvenile investigator. She brought to me an idea or at least the concept of it would be great to have all of these entities in a single place. To support one another. And one of the problems that often happens is those that need the services most struggle to be able to get there. And most of those services that are now in the Justin Center were offered in places that required travel, sometimes to Shreveport. And in all honesty, most of the time when the services were needed, it was too difficult for them to get to those. And so they just wouldn't get them. Obviously, the outcomes potentially could have been better in those situations, and so that's kind of where the idea came to be. And that afternoon, I happened to just have that on my mind as I was moving from one obligation to another, and noticed a building that the school board had available that I knew about, and made some phone calls, and you know, here we are. Probably close to a year later, but yesterday we were able to open that and start to provide those services.
Gingerbread House, CASA, the list goes on and on of the agencies. Project Celebration, so many others are involved. So that if somebody needs a protective order or they need to see a counselor for their child who has been traumatized, it's going to be there. You're not going to have to schedule something and get them to Shreveport. Will most of these folks have regular hours for their staff? And I know they can't be there all the time, but you're going to have some regular hours so you'll know, hey, when can children be brought in? When can someone see a lawyer or a paralegal? That's all going to be all mapped out, right?
It will be, absolutely. Yeah, we're most of those services are full-time in that building, with the exception of maybe one or two. But most all of the services are going to be our normal Monday through Friday business hours that they serve at their other locations.
The district attorney said something that I overheard, said this is probably going to be one of those centers that folks are going to want to duplicate. And after touring it, Sheriff, I can't agree more. It is so warm, welcoming. I don't know if you designed it like that or if it was Captain Bandy, but I mean, it absolutely is perfect for a victim to walk in. It is welcoming.
Yeah, and that was the intention. I am not the interior designer, and obviously wouldn't claim to be. Most of that is Captain Bandy. She is very, very good at that, and as well as, you know, we've studied other centers. We know what is the most appealing and the most helpful in those types of situations. And so it was designed with all of that in mind so that it didn't feel institutional when you came in. You felt comfortable. You felt like, it's not a medical visit when you show up there. It's obviously a place that you can kind of let go and feel somewhat at home. And so that it was absolutely designed with that in mind.
DeSoto Parish Sheriff Jason Richardson, tell us about, you got to work with the school board. They were willing to kind of work out a deal with you with the building. What is the cost? What was the cost of all of this? And what about the operating costs?
So the building itself was their former office, that their central office for the school board. And me and the school board, as well as the school superintendent, have a very good and close working relationship. So I simply made a phone call and pitched the idea of doing a partnership on the building to serve the better good. And without hesitation, they moved forward with it. And so we acquired the building at a zero cost lease. So we have a multi-year lease at zero, which obviously allowed us to take that money
that
we would have. They don't get much better than that.
And how much did you have to pour into it to get it to what it looks like today?
We're somewhere probably around $125,000.
And that's so reasonable.
And with those donations?
The building cost would have been over $200,000. And so instead of having to pay for a building that we still would have had to renovate, we were able to put all of that money directly towards the center. And so the renovations were extensive. It kind of changed as we moved along, as the needs changed. We had to add some walls and construction in there, but obviously when you saw it yesterday, you know that all of that was worth it.
And the operational cost, I assume it's going to be under the DeSoto Sheriff's Office budget, I would guess.
It is. The operational cost is very minimal. We provide the utilities and the as well as, the normal maintenance of the building and all of that. And so it's very minimal. We don't know exactly what that is right now because obviously we hadn't had a chance to have it open long enough to really get a baseline. But we kind of know what it costs from the school board's perspective when they were there. And, the operational cost throughout the year is probably somewhere in the $20,000 to $25,000 range.
And describe for us, and you know our relationship as we're sitting here today, describe for us how you decided, you and Captain Bandy decided to honor Justin Bloxham and name this the Justin Center.
Sure. So I had been involved with this case with Justin since it happened in 2010 and had developed a relationship with Amy and her family, throughout this process. I was with them through both trials that we had. And so, we we know the entire community here was forever affected by that, and it changed both, not just the community and how they looked at certain situations, but also as a law enforcement agency. It definitely changed us, and for those that went through that process, it's definitely something that will last the rest of your life as far as how it impacted you. And so even this many years, later, it's still at the top of our mind. And so unfortunately, we don't have multiple incidents like this that mix together and that we've had to have all of these traumatic incidents where we had multiple to choose from. And so that is a positive thing. But because of this being so impactful, we thought it was appropriate that we continue to carry Justin's name forward and do something positive with it. And for those that know Amy, that's has always been her intention with his legacy. And so we just thought it was fitting to honor that and give a place where not necessarily about the sadness, but also the poise of Justin's family as they moved forward and brought light from something that was so dark.
Well, and it was such an impactful case. It's hard to believe. It feels like it was just last month. It's hard to believe it was 16 years ago.
It was, and unfortunately, the family and the community had to relive this trial again in 2023.
Right.
And so,
right.
it opened the wound, I would say, again, and put it back at the front of our minds. And so it is still very fresh.
Mm. To walk in and to see the tribute to Justin and to see the tree with people's fingerprints honoring him, as a friend of Amy's and I knew Justin, we all want him to be remembered. And I don't think I could have found a better way. You guys have just, A+ on how you have honored him and his family. I was so, so impressed.
We appreciate it. And it's an honor to be in a position to do it as well, again, and have that relationship with Amy and her family, to always have them be a part of the things that we do in the community that are related to Justin and his situation. We're proud that they have a positive memory to move forward on as well.
Sheriff, next time you come up here in the helicopter, I want to go for a ride, okay?
All right. Just pay me an H in the parking lot so I know where to land.
There we go.
Thank you, Sheriff.
All righty. Talk to you later.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, Sheriff Jason Richardson, DeSoto Parish. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel.
Back to the big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
All right, this story's been in the news for a while now. This parasitic outbreak, cyclosporosis or whatever is it?
Yeah,
Aaron, it almost sounds like a joke. They've traced the source back. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's a farm providing lettuce to Taco Bell.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
It almost sounds like a joke.
And what's funny?
As if Taco Bell didn't have enough, a bad enough rep, people going, I'm not eating there.
Yeah. And Taco Bell had already preemptively stopped serving, certain things, which I would assume would be lettuce, stopped putting lettuce on their food about a week ago, even though they hadn't been connected to it yet.
Really?
And yeah, they already...
Then they must have known something.
They had to have some inside info that perhaps this lettuce from wherever they were getting it.
Because somebody I know, sometimes when they get off the air at 9 a.m., don't want, sausage or eggs, and so they may run through the Taco Bell drive-thru and get a few tacos.
At 9 a.m. you can get tacos?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He hasn't done that in a little while.
Oh, he hasn't.
Fortunately.
Okay. Yeah.
And you know, your first reaction might be, well, I ain't eating at Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Actually, it's probably the safest place to eat right now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because I don't think they're serving any lettuce at all.
Now's the time to go.
But come on, truth be known. No offense to TB, but no matter when you eat there, you're going to get a tummy. You're going to get a tummy bubble.
That's not true. I love Taco Bell.
I can eat Mexican anywhere and I get a tummy bubble. I just
what
do.
What does that have to do with Taco Bell?
Oh, it's not Mexican? You're terrible.
Terrible. Said I love it, but I don't know that I call it Mexican. Would Chica call Taco Bell Mexican food?
Ooh, I'd hate to hear that. I want to talk about Bossier water when we come back.
Okay.
If we can, because speaking of Chica, she brought a bottle of water.
Oh, she left it in here, too.
Yeah, she brought a bottle of water from her house in Bossier and asked me to smell it. And, I, you know, when Chica hands you something and says smell it, you're like, whoa, I don't know.
I know. When yeah. I walked into the room, she handed it to me, and I'm like, I don't want to smell something you're handing me to telling me to smell it.
She got it right out of her tap, and yikes. I'm wondering if she's the only one or if it's a problem across Bossier right now.
That's coming up after the news, bottom of the hour. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM. Thanks for spending a little bit of your Friday morning.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
I'm kidding.
I just bought gas. I filled my truck up. Now, I don't let my truck go below 3/4 of a tank.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I don't want to spend $100 just to fill up my truck.
I like to make sure my light works. And my light's okay. On now.
Okay, Dina. I get in her car and the fuel light's on.
Mike, I'm pretty upset today. Because I drive home yesterday, and I'm on Shreveport-Barksdale Highway, right there in front of the Super One. And I see a big gas truck, you know, at the Super One.
Okay, filling one of the fuel tankers.
Yeah, filling up their tanks.
Right.
And I see their price on their marquee says $3.24. I thought, that's a pretty good price for right now. Everybody's way over that, I thought. I think I paid $3.17 last week.
I bought ethanol free for my truck.
Okay.
Which is much more.
Yeah. So I said, I'll have to remember to go by there and get gas because I knew I was getting close. So I wake up this morning. Now, mind you, there was a tanker there delivering a brand new tank of fuel. So I get up this morning. And I think, I wonder if their price went up from, $3.24. They just got a new tanker. So did they bump their price up? No. Their price went down to $3.14. It's $3.14 today as of 4:30 this morning at Super One in Shreve City.
So that it reflected the lower price of the new fuel.
Yes. So I thought, Impressive. Well, I wonder if, you know, Circle K, Murphy, the places I drive by in the morning, if their prices are lower. Uh-uh. At Circle K, $3.49.
Is that out here on Pine?
Yep.
Yep.
At Murphy, $3.45. You are robbing us, Murphy USA, Circle K. If Super One and Brookshire's, add a boy to you.
Yes.
If Brookshire's can sell it for $3.14, is somebody telling me Murphy is getting it for more expensive than Brookshire's?
Right.
And Circle K? And don't tell me, oh, that's the tank they already had. And so, no, they just had a tanker pull up. So tell me who's robbing us.
Okay, I got to say, I love Brookshire's.
I know, me too.
I do. I love Brookshire's. I'd rather shop at Brookshire's. I love the company.
I know.
I had a commercial for Brookshire's, and I can't even really tell you why. And I used to work for them 50 years ago.
You can tell by that price on that gas, they are not trying to tear us up.
Right.
It's just absolutely... And the other companies that you're doing it, come on, give us a break. Please give us a break.
Yeah.
If you've got any juice with any of those companies, tell your bosses, give us a freaking break.
Not gonna do it.
Nope. Making them profits. Got to make them profits.
Let's talk Bossier water when we get back. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710.
Hey. Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Kiel.
So I had walked out earlier this morning of the studio. Ruben's gone for the last day. He will be back on Monday. But I had to go heat up my coffee. And I walk back in, and Chica is in here. You and Chica are talking, and she hands me a water bottle and goes, "Smell this."
Yep.
Well, first of all, anybody hands me something and says, "Smell this."
Yeah.
It's probably not going to be pleasant.
Especially if it's Chica. Seriously. I mean, like, come on.
I don't want to smell that.
I'm not smelling that. But she did the same to me.
It wasn't unpleasant.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bottle of water.
Yep.
And it was a bottle of water, so I'm assuming it was a purchased bottle of water, but it was something she refilled from home.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know that. I said, kind of smells like chlorine.
Strong. She handed it to me yesterday, and I took a sniff. It smells strong of chlorine. I said, "Where'd you get that water?" She goes, "It's right out of my tap." And she's a Bossier resident.
So, okay, when you take something and put it in a bottle directly out of the tap and then cap it, it doesn't have a chance, like, to breathe.
Okay.
So maybe some of that chlorine wasn't able to dissipate.
That could perhaps be. But it's strong. It's strong. I texted the mayor, Tommy Chandler, and I said, "Hey, I'm sniffing a bottle of your water." I could rephrase that a little bit differently, but I took a whiff of a bottle of water Chica got out of your tap, and it really has a strong smell of chlorine. And he asked me what address, and said, "I'm checking on it." And then he texted me back. He said, "Hey, we've had additional samples taken near where she lives." He sent the address back. "The chlorine residuals are too low for an odor complaint coming from the main. The residuals ranged from 1.2 to 2.0, which I don't know what that means. He says it's very common for a chlorine odor to come from the hot water heater when you first start running water. Chica, is it still like that this morning?"
Hello.
Turn her mic up.
I did.
Yeah. Oh, you got the wrong one on.
Oh, sorry. I got it. Okay.
There you go.
My bad. Hello.
Yeah.
I'm storming in here because I'm getting gaslit.
You think the mayor's gaslighting?
You're gaslighting me.
Not me.
You.
Why?
I got that message. Mike, that water bottle's been sitting there for 2 days now.
Oh.
Okay? That's not fresh from this morning.
Oh, right? Wow.
I'm to the point where I am buying bottles and bottles. I'm getting in the shower, and I'm like, did I spray? Because let's be real. At first, I thought it was me. At first, I thought, you know what? I've come in and sprayed all this. You know the Clorox, the mildew, da-da-da.
Yeah.
You
gotta use that, right.
And sure. So sometimes I spray it, and then I'm like, okay, I'll go. And then I thought, I'm losing my mind. Did I already come in and do this? And I thought,
right.
No. And after a couple days, but there was one day where I turned on the faucet, and it just, poof. And I'm like thinking, I can't even have my coffee. Normally I use water from the faucet.
So the chlorine is that strong.
Mm-hmm. I got a text just now from somebody who lives in North Bossier who says that happens from time to time in our neighborhood, too. And it will last for weeks sometimes. It will give you a headache when you're taking a shower.
Yes. Yes. Sorry. I'm sorry to get so overworked here.
It's a strong chlorine odor smell.
And I know I'm crazy. Well, but this is a hill I'm going to die on.
Mm-hmm.
This is my hill to die on right now. And I'm going to be so open about it. There is no way that that's normal levels. There is no way those are normal levels. You can't gaslight me on that.
We need to get an independent tester to test it. I need to find if you're a water tester guy, we need somebody to test this chlorine.
No. You don't need to test it. Come smell it. Come smell it for free. Come
over. The bottle.
Yeah. Come smell the bottle, friends.
Mm.
You tell me you drink that.
I'm not drinking that. I'm not drinking that bottle you handed me yesterday. I'm not drinking it.
And Mike. I'd like your God.
No.
So, I know that I'm crazy every other way.
Brandon's need right now is going, "Oh, I'm so glad it's not me."
Now, the mayor, I invited Mayor Chandler to join us this morning, and he's not available today. Hopefully we'll get him next week and we'll figure out what's going on, or his water department. But, you know, is chlorine bad? Is that water going to harm you? No. That water's not. They'll tell you that water's not going to harm you.
And I'd rather it be chlorine than
brain-eating amoeba or whatever.
Mud, yeah.
Right, cyclosporiasis or whatever.
Wait. How much weight are people losing on that? Because I'm about
to hit the Taco Bell diet.
I'm about to go to Taco Bell.
Wait.
When a GLP-1 quiz working for you, ladies and gentlemen.
We just talked about you. One quick question. Is Taco Bell Mexican food?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Oh, I got cut off there. Okay, cool.
101.7 FM, 710 Key.
Breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarthy on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, okay, two things that made me feel a little better. I have texted Mike Johnson before and then didn't hear back. And I thought, oh, he's busy. I know he's busy.
Mm-hmm.
But then, Aaron, I saw this week, there's a story in the Wall Street Journal, and the headline is, we went on the road with Mike Johnson and his 1,477 unread text messages.
Well, I texted him 2 or 3 days ago and tried to arrange for him today to discuss the Trump speech from last night.
Right.
And I haven't heard back. It's not like Mike.
No, I know. That's the same thing. But he also has, like, messages and phone calls. He goes, I've missed events and things, even from family members, because I haven't gotten to the phone in time. He did say, though, Trump will often call late. And he's, Mikey, are you sleeping?
Mikey,
Johnson, I'm quoting the article. Johnson said, imitating the president's voice. Johnson responds, no, not really. Oh. Yes, you are, Mikey. I can always tell when you're sleeping.
He calls him Mikey.
Mikey.
That's too funny. That's too funny.
The president calling you.
Oh, and he knows you're asleep.
It's so funny.
That is too funny.
So he's got like 1,500 unread, not unresponded to, but even unread text messages.
Right.
And I can imagine.
Right. And the president's speech last night was, focused on election
integrity.
Integrity. And he wants the Save America Act passed, and the Senate is still waiting to act on that. And I'm wondering, does Bill Cassidy vote for that? It's a good question.
It's a good question.
I'm wondering if he votes for that. Or does he kind of thumb his nose at Trump again?
Oh, come on.
I think he probably does vote for it. I think he believes, I think he believes in that. But is the Senate even going to vote before the August recess? I don't know. Does it even come up? The president pushed for it last night, and who knows what will happen.
Well, and the president's right. If you don't support this, it's because you want to cheat.
Yeah.
There's no other logical explanation that you don't want only U.S. citizens voting in a U.S. election.
And I found it very disingenuous that two of the big networks, and maybe even CNN, didn't even run the president's speech last night.
But they criticized it.
Yeah, they want to come on and pontificate about it. Shame on you. You're just showing your bias to the whole world.
LSU's political science professor Dr. Jeffrey Sado joining us after the news talking about last night's speech. 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL, Mike and McCarthy. FM 710 KEEL, Mike and McCarthy. President Trump addressed the nation last night, mostly talking about election integrity. Here to help us break down last night's speech, Dr. Jeffrey Sadow from LSUS. Dr. Sadow, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Well, howdy, y'all.
We appreciate you jumping on with us. So what were your impressions from last night? Did he have a legitimate concerns, or was it a lot of sour grapes?
Oh, well, I think really a bit of both. I mean, apparently there's some new evidence about attempted election interference, although the past reports seem to indicate that it was attempts and not actual interference by other states, countries. And then some new information, apparently, about the extent of fraudulent registrations by non-citizens. That's certainly been discovered, although the amounts that he suggested in his speech are much higher than what's previously been reported, and presumably later today there's going to be a briefing that will go into more detail about those numbers, how they're derived, and all that. So, some old new in there, maybe some sour grapes, maybe some legitimate concerns.
My question about all this is the 2020 election is over. We have huge fish to fry in this country. Whether he's right or not, it is time to move on. It is time to focus on getting things done in our country. Why do you think he's holds on to this so tightly?
Because we got to make sure it doesn't happen again.
If it's true.
Yeah, well, there's also maybe another political reason for it. This is something that can fire up the base that has supported him in the past. You know, we've got elections coming in November and actually December around these parts for some. And so this is something that, obviously he's always been very concerned about and even obsessive about. But at the same time, it can serve a political purpose by rallying his supporters to go out and support Republicans in a somewhat tough electoral environment in the fall.
He pushed also for the Save America Act to be passed by the Senate. The House has already sent it over there. What do you think happens with that?
Boy, that is tough to tell. I mean, you've got the Republicans have obviously a narrow margin. It's going to be filibustered in any event. You've got Republican senators with that narrow margin even who are expressing doubts about that, not so much for the ideas behind it, but the fact that it would be more federal involvement in elections that they would prefer to see left at the states. So, that's tough. I don't see it passing at this point because of the filibuster. Were that to change, then, it'd probably be 50-50 at that point. But I don't know if they want to go to the extreme extent of getting rid of the filibuster, because it's going to apply in the future when Republicans are not in power either.
And although they need it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Democrats are going to do it anyway, so beat them to the punch. But, I guess we're going to find out.
Well, Aaron brought up a really interesting point earlier this morning with the Save America Act. Does Cassidy vote to support it?
Yeah, I think so. Typically with Cassidy, when the chips are down, even if he's in a sour grapes phase right now, typically when the chips have been down, he's tended to go along with conservative priorities. Obviously, he's had dalliance with those of Democrats. But, I think he'd probably go for it.
What would you have to see, Dr. Sato, in the declassified documents that would indicate to you that President Trump might have a point, he might have an issue? What would be glaring for you?
Well, some obvious attempt, not just contemplation of doing it, but obvious attempt by Venezuela, China, those characters that he's mentioned in trying to influence an election here in the U.S. I don't know that the documents have something like that, and apparently the 2021 assessment of that indicated they didn't. Of course, Trump's one of his beefs was that he thought that this kind of information was being kept from him back in 2020. So that's maybe kind of where we're going to see the real action is investigations about whether that happened, regardless of whether the information shows that there was actual attempts to influence elections.
Dr. Sato, I want to shift gears for just a moment, the last minute or two that we have with you. Midterms are coming up, November. And, of course, the Iran situation is going to play heavily into it. But what is your assessment on this surge in from the Democrat Party into socialism and communism? Do you think that's going to actually have an impact on the midterms?
Yeah, I think so. If the Republicans publicize it and play it that way, you know, we have to understand that in almost all these instances, the far leftist candidates that are getting these nominations are for safe districts. I think the farthest left guy we saw in the Senate, he sabotaged himself basically over the years. You've got others, you know, in Texas, maybe in Michigan, we'll see. Ohio, certainly the comeback of Sherrod Brown. For the most part, though, if they were the successes that these candidates would have are not likely or be very few to come in actual competitive races. So I don't know that's going to have that much of a substantive impact, but it could have quite a symbolic impact if Republicans can play that as showing a looming danger of Democrats generally getting power. And what would happen.
So that's interesting. You don't feel this is a national feeling, but this is more heavy, heavy blue Democrat areas that they're showing success in.
Yeah, no, certainly. I mean, we look at opinion polls and particularly younger people seem to have this fascination with the concept. But of course, they don't vote in large numbers. So, I don't see this as an overall mood in the country at all. It's more of an outbreak in deep blue places where they can basically afford to have those kinds of outbreaks in terms of those electorates and constituents and the like. But no, I don't see it as a broader movement nationally.
I'm glad to hear that. Mm-hmm. Dr. Sato, thank you for joining us. We appreciate your input, sir.
Sure.
Thanks.
We'll talk to you soon. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel, and on the free Kiel app.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Talked since early this morning. You'd have been proud of me. I did watch the Louisiana Gaming Control Board meeting yesterday.
You didn't have any paint drying you needed to watch?
I watched it, I won't say under duress, but on command.
Yeah, I was doing something else and didn't have a chance to watch it.
Yeah.
So. You stepped up.
I don't know about that, but I did step in.
And that was the big item on the agenda was the Bally's acquisition of Sam's Town Casino, correct?
That was one item on the agenda, and it wasn't the first. No.
So you sat through some other lovely things, didn't you?
Gosh. Oh, Aaron. First of all, I don't know if it's just what my personality makeup. I hate meetings.
Oh, yeah.
Just in general.
Mm-hmm.
I just hate meetings.
Yes. Especially if it doesn't pertain to you and there's nothing you need to hear about, you know?
And a lot of meetings devolve into that.
Right.
At some point, either at the beginning or and you have to suffer through.
And there's somebody anyway. Who likes to hear themselves speak and you got to sit through that.
There were some other issues that they did. I think it was Agenda D. Before they finally got to Shreveport, and it was like D, E, and F pertained to the sale of Sam's Town by Boyd Gaming to Bally's Entertainment of Shreveport or something like that. And so they approved it. They went ahead and voted.
Did they show a PowerPoint of what it's going to look like when they're done or anything like that?
There was a PowerPoint, but it was more not of future plans.
It was financial related.
Yeah, a lot of.
So we didn't see any renderings or any of that.
No, and they didn't talk about, like, we're going to be combining these, eliminating the boats, and building a great big facility between the two hotels.
Nothing like that.
No, they said, I'm assuming they're keeping both licenses because they said Sam's Town, the name will change to Bally's Shreveport North.
Okay, so you'll have Bally's South, Bally's North.
The one that's there. And it also is the first two casinos to be jointly owned right next to each other. Of course, Sam's Town is right next on the riverfront, on the west side of the river, I think they said, to be jointly owned.
Did they say anything about getting rid of the boats?
They did not. Not that I remember.
And doing land-based of any sort.
They didn't say anything about that.
Hmm.
I think they were trying to keep it very kind of generic.
That's what I'm hearing. They're keeping it kind of quiet.
They were. I that was the impression that I got, that they weren't really wanting to divulge anything more than they had to get approval by through the board. Which they did.
Right.
And on each one of the agenda items, the chairman called roll and they voted right then.
Mm-hmm.
And it was unanimous across the board. No pun intended.
I have reached out to the Gaming Control Board chairman, Chris Hebert, to see if he could spend a few minutes with us. And he can't divulge plans. I mean, he can't say what their plan is. I mean, are they going to... And if they do merge the two boats ultimately and together, I say boats, two casinos together, the big question is, can they keep both licenses and double the size?
Right.
I mean, that would be a big to-do here. We'd have a double the size casino from what the others are allowed to have. And, you know... But do you need the two hotels? I don't know. But so it looks like we're going to have two from the way they've presented it yesterday.
Okay, here's my only criticism, and this is the technical thing. Mr. Hebert, he's got his own podium there where he is. You know,
sure.
He's the chairman.
He's the head cheese, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody needs to talk to him about how to work a microphone.
Ah.
Those mics are very sensitive.
Oh, you couldn't hear him half the time?
No. You don't need to pull that microphone up. Mr. Chum, would you be able to...
Oh, okay.
I hear you. You don't need to pull that microphone up real close.
And he might not know that.
It was right.
Mm.
But that being said, everything else seemed to go very well for Bally's Shreveport.
Okay.
And there will be a 120-day transition period. Boyd Gaming will continue to operate. And it was interesting that they made a point of talking about how the chips are going to transfer to Bally's chips and cards and things like that. But
nice.
Boyd Gaming will continue to operate during this transition period.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So
definitely.
That's all approved. So it's going to be Bally's on both sides of the river there.
Mm-hmm. Bally's North, Bally's South.
Had a good day yesterday. You had a really awesome experience.
I did. I went down to Mansfield with Amy Bloxham and for the opening of the Justin Center.
We'll talk with Sheriff Jason Richardson, who was instrumental in getting that center going right after the news, bottom of the hour. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
So you went to Mansfield yesterday for the grand opening of the beautiful, brand new Justin Center.
Mm-hmm.
Sheriff Jason Richardson of DeSoto Parish was instrumental, along with his captain, Bandy, that got that center going. Hear from Jason Richardson right after the break. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. And amidst this, a lot of bad news, we've got some good news. Yesterday in Mansfield, Louisiana, they opened the Justin Center. A big part of that was the DeSoto Parish Sheriff's Office and Sheriff Jason Richardson on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Sheriff, first of all, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. You bet.
Tell us about how this got started and your involvement in this beautiful new center, the Justin Center.
Sure. So we've been involved with all of the entities that are in the Justin Center for many, many years in the line of work that we're in. And so Captain Angela Vandy, she's the head of my criminal investigations division, but a longtime juvenile investigator. She brought to me an idea or at least the concept of it would be great to have all of these entities in a single place to support one another. And one of the problems that often happens is those that need the services most struggle to be able to get there. And most of those services that are now in the Justin Center were offered in places that required travel, sometimes to Shreveport, and in all honesty, most of the time when the services were needed, it was too difficult for them to get to those, and so they just wouldn't get them. And so obviously the outcomes potentially could have been better in those situations, and so that's kind of where the idea came to be. And that afternoon I happened to just have that on my mind as I was moving from one obligation to another, and noticed a building that the school board had available that I knew about, and made some phone calls, and you know, here we are probably close to a year later, but you know, yesterday we were able to open that and start to provide those services.
Gingerbread House, CASA, the list goes on and on of the agencies. Project Celebration others are involved, so that if somebody needs a protective order or they need to see a counselor for their child who has been traumatized, it's going to be there. You're not going to have to schedule something and get them to Shreveport. Will most of these folks have regular hours for their staff? And I know they can't be there all the time, but you're going to have some regular hours so you'll know, hey, when can children be brought in? When can someone see a lawyer or a paralegal? That's all going to be all mapped out, right?
It will be, absolutely. Yeah, we're most of those services are full time in that building, with the exception of maybe one or two. But most all of the services are going to be our normal Monday through Friday business hours that they serve at their other locations.
The district attorney said something that I overheard, said this is probably going to be one of those centers that folks are going to want to duplicate. And after touring it, Sheriff, I can't agree more. It is so warm, welcoming. I don't know if you designed it like that or if it was Captain Bandy, but I mean, it absolutely is perfect for a victim to walk in. It is welcoming.
Yeah, and that was the intention. I am not the interior designer, and obviously wouldn't claim to be. Most of that is Captain Bandy. She is very, very good at that, and as well as, you know, we've studied other centers. We know what is the most appealing and the most helpful in those types of situations. And so it was designed with all of that in mind so that it didn't feel institutional when you came in. You felt comfortable. You felt like, you know, this is, it's not a medical visit when you show up there. It's a, obviously a place that you can kind of let go and feel somewhat at home. And so that it was absolutely designed with that in mind.
DeSoto Parish Sheriff Jason Richardson, tell us about, you got to work with the school board. They were willing to kind of work out a deal with you with the building. What is the cost? What was the cost of all of this? And what about the operating costs?
So the building itself was their former office, that their central office for the school board. And me and the school board, as well as the school superintendent, have a very good and close working. So I simply made a phone call and pitched the idea of doing a building to serve the better good. And without hesitation, they moved forward with it. And so we
acquired the building at a zero cost lease. So we have a multi-year lease at zero, which obviously allowed us to take that money.
That's a pretty good deal.
They don't get much better than that.
And how much did you have to pour into it to get it to what it looks like today?
We're somewhere probably around $125,000.
And that's so reasonable.
And were those donations?
The building cost would have been over $200,000. And so instead of having to pay for a building that we still would have had to renovate, we were able to put all of that money directly towards the center. And so the renovations were extensive. It kind of changed as we moved along, as the needs changed. We had to add some walls and construction in there, but obviously when you saw it yesterday, you know that all of that was worth it.
And the operational cost, I assume it's going to be under the DeSoto Sheriff's Office budget, I would guess.
It is. The operational cost is very minimal. We provide the utilities and the as well as, you know, the normal maintenance of the building and all of that. And so it's very minimal. We don't know exactly what that is right now because obviously we hadn't had a chance to have it open long enough to really get a baseline. But we kind of know what it costs from the school board's perspective when they were there. And, you know, the operational cost throughout the year is probably somewhere in the $20,000 to $25,000 range.
And describe for us, and you know our relationship as we're sitting here today, describe for us how you decided, you and Captain Bandy decided to honor Justin Bloxham and name this the Justin Center.
Sure. So I had been involved with this case with Justin since it happened in 2010, and had developed a relationship with Amy and her family, you know, throughout this process. I was with them through both trials that we had. And so, you know, we know the entire community here was forever affected by that. And it you know, changed both, not just the community and you know, and how they looked at certain situations, but also as a law enforcement agency. It definitely changed us, and well, for those that went through that process, it's definitely something that will last the rest of your life as far as how it impacted you. And so, even this many years, you know, later, it's still at the top of our mind. And so, unfortunately, we don't have multiple incidents like this that you know, mix together and that we've had to have all of these traumatic incidents where we had multiple to choose from. And so that is a positive thing. But because of this being so impactful, we thought it was appropriate that we continue to carry Justin's name forward and do something positive with it. And for those that know Amy, you know that's has always been her intention with his legacy. And so we just thought it was fitting to honor that and give a place where not necessarily about the sadness, but also the poise of Justin's family as they moved forward and brought light from something that was so dark.
Well, and it was such an impactful case. It's hard to believe. It feels like it was just last month. It was 16 years ago.
It was, and unfortunately, you know, the family and the community had to relive this trial again in 2023.
Right.
And so,
right.
You know, it opened the wound, I would say, again, and put it back at the front of our minds. And so it is still very fresh.
Mm. The to walk in and to see the tribute to Justin and to see the tree with people's fingerprints honoring him, you know, as a friend of Amy's and I knew Justin, we all want him to be remembered, and I don't think I could have found a better way. You guys have just, I mean, A+ on how you have honored him and his family. I was so, so impressed.
We appreciate it, and it's an honor to be in a position to do it as well, again, and have that relationship with Amy and her family, to always have them be a part of the things that we do in the community that are related to Justin and his situation, and you know, we're just we're proud that they have a positive memory to move forward on as well.
Sheriff, next time you come up here in the helicopter, I want to go for a ride, okay?
All right. Just pay me an H in the parking lot so I know where to land.
There we go.
Thank you, Sheriff.
All righty. Talk to you later.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, Sheriff Jason Richardson, DeSoto Parish. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back to the big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Following up on some of the things that we've talked about earlier, we were talking about gas prices and the Super One, and it's right there on Shreveport-Barksdale Highway.
Mm-hmm.
That you said you drove by, and they had a tanker truck, and they were filling the tanks with fresh gas, mm-hmm.
And the price on their marquee at that time said $3.24.
Okay.
So I thought, that's not a bad price compared to some of the others in town. Right. I paid $3.17 last week, and I thought, well, that's not hugely bad. I mean, I don't like paying that much, but still. And so then this morning, I come back by. Mind you, same place. Just had a tanker truck come through. I thought, it's probably bumped it up. They dropped it to $3.17.
17 or 14?
$3.14. Excuse me. I wrote down $3.14. Yeah, they dropped it to $3.14. They dropped it a dime. And I thought, holy cow.
Because, okay, the assumption would be they got that tanker truck for less per gallon than what was already in their tank.
Yep. And
they lowered the price.
Everybody else's gas prices are going up because of the war is back on, et cetera. And so I thought, well, let me check the other places that I pass by in the morning. So I get out here to West Shreveport, pass by the Circle K there on Pines Road, and it was $3.49. Pass by the Murphy right here on Westport. It's $3.45. Why? How can Brookshire's Super One sell it for $3.14 today?
Okay, well, maybe Murphy hasn't gotten a new shipment.
But the prices are still going up. The what they're buying now is going up. They are gigging us.
I wouldn't argue that.
And I'm... they need to be called out, and we need to stop buying from those folks. Buy from the folks who are not racketing off of us. I could use even harsher words, but I'm not because I'll get in trouble. But if, please help me. If Super One can sell it today for $3.14 and they just got a new truck at probably a higher price, and you're still selling it to me for $3.49 and $3.45 at Circle K, which sells a lot of gas.
Oh, yeah.
Murphy sells a lot of gas. I know you get a better price than they do at Brookshire's. I know you get a better price. I'm not stupid. You buy
because
way
you
more.
Right, exactly.
Brookshire's isn't all across the nation. You're all across the nation. You negotiate your prices. So, and somebody may correct me, but I just find this real disingenuous on some of these companies that you're taking advantage of the Americans when we need your help. We need you to be good corporate citizens. And if you can give us a break, give us a freaking break.
Now, Richard sent us a message on the Shreveport Security Systems message board that said Brookshire's on North Market, north of I-220, is at $3.38 a gallon.
Okay.
But that's Brookshire's.
Yep. It's still.
I don't know
low.
If Super One is different.
Owned by the same people,
right,
isn't it?
It's owned. It's Super One is Brookshire's.
That's still 10 cents cheaper than Murphy and Circle K.
But maybe they haven't gotten their new shipment yet.
But I thought the new shipment prices were going up because of the war escalating. I don't know. I think corporate America can do better.
I wouldn't argue. Have a great weekend.
And should be.
Mike and McCarty.